Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Hi, Sheridan.
UNICEF, of course, isn't the only organisation that's been abused in hoax emails. You've got a whole list of charity scams on your website, and some are using the names of organisations like Make-A-Wish Foundation, and others are just fake charities. Yeah, is that a common type of scam, the whole charity thing?
It is, yes. Organisations like the Red Cross and all that certainly get targeted as well. And every time there's any sort of natural disaster, the scammers sort of start immediately with the same sort of thing.
Yeah, okay. So as soon as tragedy strikes, then you've got all these parasites really jumping on, wanting to get their bits as well. Let's talk about some of the broad categories of email and internet scams that you've seen. I'll give you the word and then you can kind of flesh it out. This whole phishing thing, the P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, phishing, tell me about that.
Right, yeah, that's probably one of the most common scams around. It's basically you get an email from your bank or another financial institution and it says you need to update your details urgently, and it'll have a link there. So you click on the link and that'll take you to a website that looks exactly like your real banking site. Mm-hmm. And you'll log in with your username and password, and then it'll probably ask you on a second page for credit card details and a heap of other information about you. And you think you're on your own bank's website, but what you're really doing is supplying all that information to scammers so then they can take that and log on to your real website and transfer your money and possibly even steal your identity.
Okay. All right, the next lot is the lottery or prize scams. I think we've all seen those a fair bit. You've won $1 million, etc.
Right, yeah. They're basically advanced fee scams where, like, as you say, you get a notification that you've won this money, and then if you contact them, they'll say, okay, before we can send you your prize, there's these fees you have to pay, like an insurance fee or some sort of taxation fee or a whole series of fees that they'll invent. Mm-hmm. So you keep wiring them the extra money that they ask for in the hope that you're going to get your prize at some point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which never happens,
yeah. Then there's the Nigerian scams, and I'm sure they probably don't all come from Nigeria, but that's the kind of broad category name, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. They're sort of very closely related to the lottery scams in that they work in the same way. It might be like a next of kin scam where you'll get this email saying that someone with your surname has died in another country and left $1 million in the bank or something. Mm-hmm. And they want you to pose as the next of kin, and they'll give you 60% of the money and they'll keep the rest, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You probably would have heard of the Nigerian pastor scams as well, the ones that are asking religious people for money.
Yes, right. Yeah, there's like thousands of variations on the same theme.
Yeah,
but they all operate in the same way in that they'll ask you to send money before you get the supposed money that they're offering.
Yeah, I actually had just one of our listeners actually email me out of the blue the other day and just say, oh, look, you know, please pray for this Zimbabwean pastor. He seems like a lovely guy. He emailed me and he said that he just needs so much money to get out here and do a preaching tour out here. So, you know, I can't help him out. But, you know, please pray that he does actually meet those kinds of people.
Mm, right,
watch out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but it's very common.
Very, very common. Mm. So now here's what I don't understand. Let me read an email that I got this week, actually, which I thought was very, very creative, and certainly they went to a little bit of time with this one, because a lot of these scam emails are, well, you can kind of pick them these days, you know, often, you know, they're not personalised, or even if they are personalised, they've taken the first word off your email address or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
This one was different. Let me read it to you, and I'm baffled as to what they were looking for at the other end. Here it goes. Mm-hmm. Respected Sheridan Voysey, my name is Professor Colin Jones from the Queen Mary University Youth Community here in London, UK. We want you to be our guest speak. I think they meant speaker. Our guest speak at this year's Youth Event 2010, which will take place here in UK. We are writing to invite and confirm your booking to be our guest speaker at these year. I think it was this year. These year. We want all London youth to come close to God and realise the future is in their hands. That is why we intend to use these conference to turn them away from their illicit behaviour. Then he gives the details. Queen Mary University, venue, Skiel Lecture Theatre, etc. Audience, 3,500 people. Duration of speech, 1 hour. Details, etc. All of which work out. There's a Skiel Lecture Theatre. There is a Queen Mary University. There's also a Professor Colin Jones, etc. We came across your profile on christianspeak.net. That's true. My profile is up there. And we say it's up to standard, and we will be very glad to have such an outstanding personality in our midst. I think it should be midst, in our midst, for these overwhelming gatherings. A formal letter of invitation and contract agreement would be sent to you as soon as you honour our invitation. We are taking care of your travel and hotel accommodation expenses, including your speaking fee. Stay blessed, Professor Colin Jones, Queen Mary University. Okay, if I had replied to that and said, oh, I can't wait, what would he have done next? I just don't get what he was looking for from me.
It might be like a money laundering scam where they'll send you a check or something like that.
Yeah.
And they'll say, right, we've sent you this check, here's your fee. There's some money from this check that needs to be sent to the travel agent or some other third party, and they'll say just wire this as cash. Put the money, put the check in the bank, and wire this money as cash to this third person. So what they're actually doing is laundering proceeds of stolen checks or money orders, or sometimes they'll transfer money into your bank account from a compromised bank account. That's a fairly common way that they actually launder money.
They went to a lot of effort, though, didn't they? I mean, it looks like a personally written... I mean, Professor Colin Jones, you know, on the Queen Mary University website is actually a historian, and he certainly wouldn't have used English like that. It was really so bad. But it looks like they really did go to a bit of effort to actually write the email.
Yeah, they do a bit of research. They would have went onto that website and found that information, then probably gone onto your website and sort of specifically targeted you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so it would be real money that they'd send, and then the whole idea is for me to transfer it onto somebody else.
Yeah, well, that's probably one scenario. Otherwise, it would be like another sort of advanced fee scam where at some point they'd ask you to send them money and they'll promise to reimburse you at some later point or something like that.
Okay, there you are. I'd love to hear people's emails and what they've actually experienced. What's been the most interesting one you've experienced and you've seen sent to you? 1-300-40-2020 is my number. Brett Christensen from hoaxslayer.com is actually with us. So give us some of the telltale signs we should be looking out for in emails so that we know whether they really are hoaxes or not.
Well, it's probably, especially with phishing scams and all that, like your bank will never send you an email saying, click this link to update your details or reply to this email with personal or financial information. They're just not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And probably another big thing to look for if you do click on one of these links and it's not a secure website, you know, any bank website or any place where you're putting credit card details or any sort of personal information will be a secure website where it's got the little lock icon down in the status bar. So if it's not that, then it's probably a scam website, because a lot of times the site will look very much like the organisation that they're targeting, that's identical to the website that they're targeting, sort of thing.
Okay, but it won't have that little secure little lock down off in the bottom right hand corner, isn't it?
And another thing, as you just mentioned, is poor spelling and grammar.
Why is that? Where are these emails coming from?
Like we said before, it's probably unfair to say that they all come from Nigeria, but a lot of them do come from African countries, and it's probably like English is not their first language. You find some very unusual, even funny sort of ways of phrasing things, and that's a pretty big giveaway.
Yeah, okay, so poor spelling. You were talking about, it's not actually a secure link. I mean, the fact is that any of these things, we shouldn't be clicking on the link anyway, should we?
No, that's right. And another thing, like the link in the website might look like you're going to the bank's proper website, but if you hold your mouse over it, down in your status bar, you might see that it's not actually that link. Mm-hmm. There's ways of disguising the link in the email so that it looks like you're going to ANZ or legitimate bank site. If you just hold your mouse cursor over the link itself in the email and right down in your status bar of your email client, you'll usually see the real address that's underneath it.
And I guess if they're offering the world, it's probably not true.
Yeah. And a lot of them, there's this sense of urgency. You've got to do this right now. It's really, really important that you click on this link and fix this problem up immediately sort of thing, or your account will be terminated or that sort of thing. So they're trying to get people to act really quickly without thinking about it too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think another important thing is just step back a bit if you get any sort of email that you think might be a little bit suspect and have a think about it.
Yeah, okay. Now, what should we do then? That leads us nicely. What should we do with these things? Obviously, don't click on the links. Like you said, stop, wait, pause, think about it. We shouldn't reply, should we? You know,
no.
Even if we reply and say, you know, hang on, you really expect me to fall for that? I mean, that actually can trip the computer and say, well, this email account is active.
That's right, yes. You'll probably get more, if not scams, you'll end up on spammers' lists and just get more spam email anyway. So it's best not to reply. So, and you're dealing with quite hardened criminal gangs quite often, so it's probably not a good idea to muck around with them too much.
So not necessarily individuals, these are gangs?
Some of them are still individuals, but from what I've seen, I think it's going more to like organised gangs that are running these things these days.
And we're starting to see them appear in social media tools as well.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of these sort of things start to move around Facebook, especially lately.
Well, I hear there's a bit of an interesting story as to how you started your Hoax Slayer website as well.
I actually got caught by a hoax myself. That was quite a few years ago now.
What was it?
It wasn't actually a scam. It was just a virus hoax that said, don't download this screensaver because you'll get a virus and it'll destroy your computer. And so and it says, send this to everyone you know to warn them.
Yeah.
So I did that, and someone let me know that it was a hoax, and I just started to get interested in the subject then and started to research them. Then people started sending me emails to check for them, sort of thing, is this a hoax, is this a scam, and the site basically grew from there.
Okay, there you go. Now it's a full-time job for you, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Boy, so can we send emails to you?
Yes. At the bottom of every page is a contact link.
Okay, so if we've got some concerns, maybe we can throw it to you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Brett. It's good to talk to you and very important, I think, too.
All right, yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, good on you. That's Brett Christensen from the Hoax Slayer website. The website has got a dash in between those two words, so it's hoax-slayer.com. It's a place to check out all of these various hoaxes, and there's a variety of them around, aren't there? hoax-slayer.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.